Hey, Pat, did you hear Maggie O'Brien's was voted best Irish bar in St. Louis?
No, Eddie, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Maggie O'Brien's was voted coldest beer in town.
I had no idea.
Maggie O'Brien's was also voted best smoked corned beef sandwich in all the Midwest.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm very serious. We're also voted number one place to go before and after all major concerts and sporting events.
My God.
And Maggie's was voted best place to meet your future ex-wife.
Huh? Wait a second. Who did the voting?
Don't worry about that. All voting was done by Pat and Eddie McVay's family and friends, but it really is a good place to go.
Maggie O'Brien's at the corner of Market and 20th Street. Union Station is next to us.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Change the scene. You were looking at a magazine. It was red carpets and limousines. The grass seemed so much greener.
Doug.
All we wanted was to get there fast. So we packed up everything we had. Running on hope and a tank of gas like dreams.
You'll be able to see this gentleman in a month. Lufest, InsideSTL.com, partnering with Lufest and the Independent Tire Dealers to provide an exclusive experience for our listeners. That's presented by the Independent Tire Dealers at ITDRule.com. Dedicated bathrooms, a lounge area with outdoor TV streaming the live show and sporting events, private cash bar, yard games, and, of course, the possible mingling with our on-air personalities. I'll be ponied up there. I bet the Plowhawk will be ponied up there.
I told Seamaster, say me too.
You're in?
Yep.
Sweet. You can get your tickets right now at InsideSTL.com. Enter the promo code FREEDOTEM. It's one word, FREEDOTEM. You'll hear and see Chris Stapleton, LCD Sound System, Ms. Lauren Hill, Band of Horses, amongst many others. The special ticket link is live for purchase and space. The event's limited September 10th and 11th at Forest Park. Space for our exclusive experience is limited. It's the same price as a normal ticket, so why wouldn't you do this? It is Lufest and our partnership with the Independent Tire Dealers, the original title sponsor of this program, ITDRoll.com. Bomber O'Brien's will be providing a free shuttle plus food and drink specials both before and after the show. Inside STL experience at Lufest is made possible by the Independent Tire Dealers, your hometown tire team at ITDRoll.com. Over 50 locations in the St. Louis area and over 20 brands to choose from featuring Kumho Tires. It's the Independent Tire Dealers, our partners on the Lufest promotion. Doug, pony up. Oh, won't you?
Sure, I'll ride my horse down there.
Your whip?
Yeah. Park it in the corral.
You got a nice ride. I know that.
You guys ever ride horses?
You got a nice whip.
No, I bet on them, but I don't.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I bareback.
I've seen my picture on a horse at the Greenbrier Resort. Like circa 1973, where somebody stuck me on the horse. Clearly, yeah. I didn't.
Was that one of those Greenbrier couples nights on Tuesdays that you've talked about?
That's Greenbrier in West Virginia, not Greenbrier Friday nights.
Oh. You didn't enjoy the horse ride.
I don't. I just looked a little stunned to be sitting up atop something at the age of four.
Oh, well, yeah.
But since then, it's been pretty much just betting on
no them. Horses
no,
since.
No.
It's kind of fun. It is frightening if you're not used to it, but.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I used to have to go into the winner's circle sometimes at Fairmont when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I always got a little scared because the horse, you know.
Have a large, senior there?
Yeah, senior would probably, he'd send me down with somebody. He'd stay up and bet. And he'd just go take your picture with the winners. And go. They'd take me down. And
why did you get your picture with the winner?
Just because they get something to do so he could bet on the race.
Yeah, I got my picture with Dave LaPointe.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you really?
Nice. 82, 83.
Yeah, those horses can kick you into next week.
That's the thing. You get a little skittish. I get a little skittish around them.
Yeah. But they're generally nice. Horses are not usually mean-spirited.
I don't think they're necessarily mean-spirited, but they're certainly a little fragile. And if they don't feel comfortable, you don't want to be around them when they don't feel comfortable.
And it's good that, I've said this before, it's good that they're not very smart because they could give us a lot of trouble.
You think they could take over?
They could give us a lot of trouble. If we had rogue horses running around that were looking to do us harm, they would be a handful.
And at this point, really, let's think about it. The people in this country would probably do nothing.
Well, it's nice to have opposable thumbs, which can work a firearm.
The digits.
Because that's the great equalizer.
Yep. Your thoughts on opposable thumbs, 314-880-0808. You can call in on opposable thumbs on the appliances counter phone lines, but you can text in as well. Plus, you can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Pair of tickets to Dierks Bentley tomorrow night at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, our prize for the email of the day, in addition to one of those royal blue lemming shirts. And Jennings, those are collector's items. Now, you can buy the navy blue, and my God, are we selling a lot of those. You can get
them
on
Inside
STL account, 20 bones. Yep. We'll have those at the Hot Shots and O'Fallon broadcast, in addition to the sexy coffee mugs. The question is, what's our next merchandising experience, Doug? I don't know if you want to come up like boy panties.
Something certainly around
you. Unfortunately, those would probably sell quite well.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't the name of the game dollar signs?
Ours is a listener base of people that are confused about a lot of things.
I don't disagree.
Including their sexuality.
But they're very active, and that's the nice thing.
Amen. Active in what way? They sit at the keyboard and write snarky things all
they
day?
They stepped up to sponsor the trip to Chicago. There were 300 of them at Hot Shots.
Those are the sponsors you're talking
about. We sold out a golf tournament, two rounds.
Are we doing another golf tournament?
Marmar Binks and Jay Boyd and I are meeting at some point. We've had three cancellations, but we are...
Who's canceling?
Me and Jay Boyd and Binks. We all canceled. So it's going to happen.
Everybody's got one cancellation in the standings.
No more.
Because I heard tell like October 14th. Obviously not real bullish on the Cardinals' chances.
Melissa was fearful of the Lou Fest because we kind of had a concept that we were thinking of doing.
And when it was pitched to me and I politely declined.
I understand. And
the whole world would never believe I was the one to strike it down.
No, they wouldn't. Jay Boyd and I may do something of that nature next year, but we are going to try and put something together 1st of October to mid-October, a fun day at The Rock.
Do we get to hear
what
you
struck
down?
I thought we were going elsewhere.
No, we're going at The Rock.
All right.
Going at The Rock.
Do we get to hear what you struck down?
Per Melissa, now you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
It was going to be a bikini open.
Oh.
Each, you know, Hot Shots has stewardesses, Doug, at their various places.
Flight attendants.
And some of them are very interesting. One of the girls was going to caddy for each group.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some talk. You remember that area where things kind of backed up at number 5 and number 12?
Yeah, it was kind of a pony show.
It was a pony show. We were talking about getting some above-ground pools. And,
oh, we have plenty of those in the neighborhood I grew up in.
And then allowing maybe in that area for recruited people to do what they wanted.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
This is why I get paid big bucks,
which, of course,
is available at FCC.gov.
I don't know if Tim's... I said, Tim promotes new porn.
I thought you were just talking about... I thought you were going to talk about a Hot Shots girl with every foursome or something.
That's what it would be.
That was part of it. Yeah. And I'm all for that.
I know.
I'm, of course, pro-bikini, but if the title of the event is the Bikini Open, the sponsorship dollars, we would not be casting a wide net.
I understand.
And you wouldn't get enough guys to play.
Oh, now, I think
if you recruited the Chippendales dancer, you would get our group.
You think we'd
to
fill
play.
It up?
Yes.
Or the Thunder Down Under?
Yeah, you'd have plenty.
I think most of the people listen to the Writer's Block are hetero, well, at least like 70%.
Pretty
joining
much.
Us right now, one
Some
of the
Hoxie fans.
Is Ben Fredrickson. Doug, I say buy stock in Ben Fredrickson,
okay.
Coach of the Writer's Block and columnist on STLtoday.com. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, guys. I enjoyed the horse discussion and can vouch that they are very dangerous. People don't realize they can hit with the front hooves, too.
Yeah. Doug, you don't think about that,
no,
do you?
No, they can punch you. That's like the equivalent of a punch when that front hoof hits you.
Yes, they got to come. They can get it from all directions.
Yeah,
Doug, you can talk. Ben grew up in Sedalia. He's very proud of his Sedalia roots, and I would imagine you dealt with a lot of horses.
Yeah. Did you ride a horse as a kid?
My dad has, still to this day, has about 9, I think.
Oh, all right.
On his place back home, yeah. And
that.
Some of them are nice. Some of them are like big dogs, and then some of them are insane. You don't really, there's no rhyme or reason, really, other than to parents they're born to us, so whether or not they are going to be gentle or want to kill you every time you turn your back on them.
Just like people. Yeah.
Exactly.
Ben, I understand our shows are at war, and I want to play this up because that's a very important thing to do in sports talk radio.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
So I hate you. I hate Hockman, I hate Derek Gould, and I hate Chris Gardner. And I would like to fight all of you. You're all on the line, you're all frauds, and what else? Oh, yeah, I hate you. There it is, Doug. You want to fight these guys?
Noted. We will respond between the hours of noon and 2.
Nice.
But we actually have gone as far as trying to figure out if this were to go down, who would take
Yeah, food. And I was listening to that, and you guys elected Derek Gould the most athletic, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't think Derek's the most athletic, is he?
I thought when I heard you guys breaking down the matchups, they were trying to figure out who they'd match up with, Doug. And,
yeah, he's the biggest. Derek's clearly the biggest. I mean, he's the tallest.
But then you were going to put Derek Gould on me, and that struck me as odd because I'm a tiny little twink boy.
See, Hockman is convinced that you would be the toughest one.
You think so? Like a honey badger? Like a honey? I mean,
I guess
you'd definitely
so.
Be scrappy.
You think so? Light hitting middle utility.
But you've always enjoyed being disciplined.
I have. I'm a
scrappy,
sub.
I guess.
I'm a sub.
And
I heard that Hockman has me convinced.
He was factoring in the fact that you would probably have no rules. I mean, you would probably be the dirtiest of the fighters.
Oh my God!
So
now we really are at war, Doug. That's unbelievable. Can you believe that it would be a Texas rules bout?
Ooh, Texas,
Texas rule. Yeah. Now, who does Doug match up with?
This is boxing we're talking about.
See, that's what I thought Doug would actually be one of the tougher guys to fight with. But you would know that he would agree to the common set of rules. I mean, if you said no knives or no chains, you would think Doug would be the guy who would uphold to those standards. Now Tim and Kat, they're a little more likely to go rogue. Derek is convinced that the Kat would be the one to avoid at all costs. You don't want to be the one who's fighting Jim Hayes.
Now I feel like that's anti-Semitic. I just feel like that's what I feel like is going on there.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna have to look into that.
Well, that's
during
the
deposition.
Like they'd hack
into your bank account.
Fight each other.
Yeah, Hockman and Kat should be paired against each other. Let's keep it all together.
Yeah, any Catholics on the staff?
Then,
I don't know who's
and
Catholic
I could
there.
I could take Tim and Derek and Doug could duke it out.
All right, there you go. And then I guess Gardner and the Plowhawk or Gardner and the Seamaster. I don't think the Plowhawk could really
Seamaster
scrap.
Probably. Can he? Is he? He's probably. He's like my buddy on the wrestling team in high school. He's like all bones, so he's like there's nothing to grab onto. Just angles. You're getting stabbed every time you.
Plowhawk,
try to,
when's the last time you like threw a punch down? Or took a punch? I don't even know if that would ever happen.
I've never had any confrontation
That's
with
what I
any
thought,
person
man.
In my life.
Had a boy.
Yeah, he's just the happiest cat. So we'll let the sea. But the sea monster's a happy guy too.
I've never been in a fight.
I grew up in South City, man. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
You learn young.
Yeah, those DeBerg and St. Mary's guys were not happy that I sold out and went to St. Louis U High.
And they punched you?
Well, they would yell at me when I'd be getting out of the car. They'd be over at Francis Park drinking Purple
well,
Passion and Mad Dogs.
Just yelling at you doesn't count. People yell at us now.
Do it through the text inbox. Ben Fredrickson, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Read him on STLtoday.com. He's a guy. Here's a guy. I go out of my way to read, and I'm saying that sincerely. That's why when we brought Ben and the boys from the Writer's Block on board, I said, I realize, you know, Hockman has his column in the Post-Dispatch. Derek, of course, has been writing for the Post-Dispatch for, I guess, 15-plus years now. But Ben Fred, to me, he's Straussian. That's how I would describe him. He has his opinions. He backs it up, and that's a column I look forward to reading. And so a potpourri of topics to discuss with you. We haven't had it on the show in a little while, and of course you can hear Ben along with Hockman and Gould and Gardner from 12 to 2 on the Writer's Block. But let's start with the Cardinals. They win last night. I feel like, I don't know if apathy is the right term to describe baseball fans in the metropolitan area, but I do think there is an understanding that this team, at least at this moment, just isn't really that good. And perhaps with the recent memory of seeing a 100-win team that I wouldn't, by the way, put in the category of other 100-win teams we've seen around here since 85, 85, 04, and 05, that if that team could get knocked out in the first round, that this team that is on pace to win 85 games doesn't have a real likelihood to beat one of the Nationals or Cubs should they meet in the postseason and get past that wild card play-in game. Your analysis of A, the team, but B, what I describe as kind of a rolling of the eyes of many in St. Louis toward this team with 50 or so games remaining.
Yeah, it's hard to blame fans for starting to feel that way, and it does feel a little bit like things have maybe shifted from just pure anger at the lack of a consistent winning streak. And maybe more toward just kind of throwing up their hands. I do think there's still a lot of people who are frustrated before punting on them and just saying, well, they're just not very good. But I feel like there's more of that than there has been, and you can see why. You know, every time this team wins a game, that makes you think, okay, this will be the one that turns things around for them. And for a while, they were even buying in on that. They would say after a walk-off win against the Cubs or a comeback win that, you know, included everybody getting hit or walked to win the game, that, okay, this is going to be what gets us going. And then they go out and lose the next game. And even now the Cardinals will tell you that they're not trying to think like that. They do think a run's going to come, but they're not going to try to predict when it is. That's probably smart because they've yet to figure out how to string anything together consistently. And it's going to be hard to do that when your starting pitching isn't as good as it needs to be. And when you have a defense that makes, you know, boneheaded plays and plays not made. And then you have base running that continues to leave outs on the base paths for an offense that can drive in a significant amount of runs. I mean, the frustrating part, I think, trying to describe this team is that they do the same thing over and over again. If it was a series of different mistakes, okay, you know, at least they're fixing something, but they're doing the same things. The defense has been a problem since spring training. The base running has been a problem since spring training. And the pitching is when it's not razor sharp, then this team is not very good. And it doesn't matter whether they're playing the Cubs or, you know, someone as lowly as the Braves, they can lose to anybody. And they do.
I guess on the plus side, Jaime Garcia suddenly has it figured out. He's gone 8 innings his last 2 starts, given up 2 runs in 16 innings. You see him doing anything different? Why is it all coming together for him now?
Yeah, it's really impressive. Last night was another great game for him. And, you know, that's something to be pointed out, Doug, because I think I wasn't the only one who, when they decided to start him on short rest, went, oh, no, you know, this is a bad idea. And sure enough, he went out there and laid an egg. But I was also concerned, well, how is he going to respond? You know, he's discussed as this guy who's so, you know, process-oriented and schedule regiment to the schedule, and how will he bounce back from that? You know, changing things up to start on a short rest, it goes terribly. Now, how's he going to respond? And since then, he's been snapped right back in the place. He's been great. You know, I don't know that anything has been different. I think he feels good. I think he's confident. I think he's trying to go out there and pitch the whole game. And that's exactly what this team needs, because the bullpen is can be a roll of the dice at times. And he's been one of their stronger guys here in his past couple starts, excluding the one where he went out there and, you know, they asked him to go on 3 days rest for the first time in his career, which never made sense to me.
If you're able to take a step back and maybe look at the bigger picture, and you say that maybe this is the down year for this team, Ben, that you know, if you think of down years or down times for other teams, they're usually not 60-54. So while there are a lot of glaring issues that you brought up, if by chance this is their downturn and this is as low as it goes, then in a way that's pretty amazing. I mean, I know it's frustrating for the season, but if they're able to do some things in the offseason, have health, good pitching, and they're back on better form next year, I think it's okay to have 60-54 at this point.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, the way when we talk about the Cardinals being bad, it's within the frame of what the Cardinals have been. I mean, the Cardinals bad is not the Braves bad.
Right.
You know, and it's never going to be, because they've conditioned people here to expect a team that can compete for the World Series every year. And that's not the outside expectation. That's the goal the Cardinals set every year. And that was the goal they set this year. You know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Bill Witt was hammering the podium at Cardinals winter warm-up, saying, look, this is a team that can compete with the Cubs. We're not going to go quietly into the night against these guys. You know, we can go toe-to-toe. So I think you look at it two ways. You look at it as, yeah, you know, it's really, really hard to be a World Series contender every single year. And the Cubs are getting so much attention this year because they've been great. But also look at how they had to get there. You know, they tanked it, and now they're reaping the benefits of it. That's a way to do it. The Cardinals go a different way, a harder way, by saying we try to compete every year. And that means we draft lower. It means we have to develop more. And if this is their quote-unquote down year where they're playing baseball that makes you want to pull your hair out, it's still right there in the race for that second wild card spot. and it gets better from here, then yeah, I think you look back on it years later and say, well, that, you know, that was for a down year, that wasn't as bad of a one. But I don't know. I think right now the question is, okay, well, what's the proof that they're going to be, you know, right back in this thing next year?
Yeah.
Against a Cubs team that's not going anywhere unless they win the World Series and everybody just, you know, defects. But right now there's some serious questions that might not be answered when they start the next season. I mean, who's going to be their everyday center fielder? They have some serious questions here that they're going to need to get figured out.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that I'm not sure how bright the future really does look. You got Diaz and Piscotty. You found two solid young players. Other than that, the backbone of the team are guys on the wrong side of 30. Molina, Moss, Carpenter, Holiday, Wainwright. Those guys aren't getting any younger. Probably not going to get any better.
Yeah, maybe this is the turn down for a couple of years. I don't know.
It's the it kind of feels like that, the beginning of the dark ages, and that's being negative and yeah, grim. But it does. I mean, when the team is trending this direction, it makes you wonder a lot about what's going to happen down the line. There are some positive things to look forward to. I mean, you got two of them on the roster right now. Alex Reyes and Luke Weaver's coming up for his first start in Chicago. These guys are impact arms that are going to be. I think the Cardinals' plan is for them to be a part of the rotation, you know, in the long term. Now, it had to come at the expense of Michael Wacha, and the big question mark is, what is his future going to look like? I mean, it's crazy to think of what Michael Wacha was billed as when he came on the scene. I mean, he was basically anointed as the next Adam Wainwright, and through no fault of his own, he's got a messed up shoulder that doesn't seem to want to let him pitch the kind of innings that it takes to be a key starter. And now we're going to have to reevaluate how he's used, or if he can change his mechanics to fix that shoulder problem. But I mean, that's kind of the point of making, when you try to predict these things out years in advance, good or bad. It's risky business, because look at Michael Wacha and look at what we thought he was going to be. And now this thing that we didn't realize was going to be a significant hurdle for him has impacted him twice.
Ben Fredrickson, our guest right now on the Appliance Discounter phone line. You can hear him every day from 12 to 2 here on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com. And read him on STLtoday.com throughout the week. Ben, switching gears to Missouri. The football team is getting ready for the opener against West Virginia. That's less than a month away. Quite a difficult opening schedule in comparison to September's of the last 20-plus years. But the overall focus for people such as ourselves who went there and fans of the program, since there is no NFL team here, perhaps that number increases, is what's going on over the last year. And because it hasn't been that many years since you left there, I would imagine you have more contacts there. What's the atmosphere on the inside right now in the athletic department? Because the football team dealt with what it dealt with last year with Gary Pinkel, protests, hunger strike, and then Pinkel leaving, and then it going to Barry Odom. The basketball team has just been irrelevant for years under Kim Anderson and will now be going into its third, and they just hired an athletic director after Mac Rhodes left after his very brief stint. And that's not to speak to the issues for the administration as a whole above them with all of the interim positions.
Yeah, I think, I don't know that it's all that different from the fan base in general. Like, they're just ready for a period of time where they're not in the headlines every day for something that can be perceived as negative. It's just the more boring the better right now. I mean, just find a little bit of stability and start turning it into, you know, you're making news for things you do on the football field or things you do on the basketball court or things that aren't related to someone leaving or someone, you know, losing their job or some sort of investigation. And this could be the start of that. I mean, they have an athletic director who's going to be introduced later this morning, and Jim Stirk, who comes from San Diego State. He's entering a position where he doesn't have a full-time chancellor and he doesn't have a full-time president. But Mizzou gave him a pretty significant contract that will go through 7 years. So that's the stability, I guess, that he needed to come aboard, and that when he doesn't necessarily know who his boss is. I think there's some legitimate excitement about this football team. I think Barry Odom has been a guy who has been kind of a bright spot for Missouri during this time of craziness, because he's just been so pro Mizzou, and he just takes everything that goes wrong and just kind of almost brushes it off and is determined to, you know, put a competitive football team on the field and hasn't been deterred by the fact that he lost his boss, the guy who hired him, hasn't been deterred by the fact that, you know, everything is looked like it's falling down around him, and he just goes out there and does his job. He's continued to travel and promote Missouri, and he's gotten some interesting recruits to come on board for the next signing class. So he's doing his thing. I do think if this football team can win some games and win some games that a lot of people don't think it can win, that could kind of be a rallying point here. I mean, we all know, we've all been in this long enough to know that winning can solve a lot of things. If this football team can go out and be competitive and, you know, get to a significant bowl game and get above 500 and maybe then some, then there's no reason to think that could not be finally a kind of a ray of sunlight over this whole mess and get things back on the right track. Look, Mizzou's not as bad as sometimes I think it seems, because we just hear all of the outpouring of headlines and things of that nature. I think they're still a proud school. I think people there are very, you know, determined to get this thing turned around. And Barry Odom is an embodiment of that. And the way he goes about his business proves that. So if he can have some results on the football field, I think it could be finally a welcome reprieve in this thing. And I think Jim Sterk's a good hire. My big question about it is, I was wondering how long is he going to be there? You know, that's the risk of a search firm hire. You know, you get somebody who could be extremely qualified, and it certainly seems like he is, but this is a Pacific Northwest guy who's never spent any time here. He has no ties here at all. I think Dave Matter pointed out he's lived in the Central Time Zone once in his life, and it was when he, you know, it was in a lower level position at Tulsa. So the big thing I think with him is, who does he surround himself with? Who can he entrust? Who can he hire? Who can he lean upon? Perhaps people that are already there to get him as ingrained with the university and its boosters and everybody, all the important people as quickly as possible, because he doesn't have any of that experience that he can fall back upon.
Ben, do you think John Sunvold wanted the job?
A good question. You know, he never came out and said he did. And that was something I read into. I mean, I think you think if John was itching to be the athletic director, if he felt that was his calling, that he would have said, look, I want to do this. And if he would have said that, if he would have campaigned for it, it would have been probably harder for Mizzou to not look at him as a serious option. But he just kind of left it as, look, I would consider it if they approached me, but right now I'm really busy. So there's a good chance that he didn't want to do this. He never said officially either way, one way or the other. I think he absolutely liked the thought of it. I'm sure that he liked people coming up to him and telling me they thought he should be the guy. Who wouldn't? But my hope for him is that he is involved still.
Yeah.
I think if John Sunvold can offer any help to Jim Sterk to say, look, this is who you need to know. This is the group you're walking in to meet. I mean, he needs to be involved, even if it's not an official capacity. I mean, he knows everybody. He's so well-respected. And that's the kind of person that Sterk should look to and say, okay, help me. You know, and it's got to be Sterk's. He's got to be the one running the show. But surely he's intelligent enough, has done this long enough to know that he could be aided a lot by a guy who's as tuned in as Sunvold.
Ben Fredrickson, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You wrote, in the last 24, 48 hours on Stan Kroenke's new pursuit. And this doesn't have to do with the NFL or his Arsenal in the UK. This has to do with land. Some of our listeners may be familiar with it, but for those who are not, tell the story, if you would, and give your expert analysis, Ben.
Yeah, Tim, I'm probably going to get some heat for that. I think some people are tired of reading about Kroenke, and I understand that. I really do. I've been trying to cut back on rip jobs about Stan Kroenke, even though I kind of made it my beat for a while. But no, this one it was too bizarre and just too Stan Kroenke to pass up. We got a phone call in the office this week from a woman who is living on Lake Diversion in Texas. It's a small, relatively poor lake community in North Texas, and it happens to be on a part of that massive Texas ranch that Stan Kroenke bought right around the time the Rams relocated. And I remember, I mean, people talked a little bit about the headlines that he just bought America's largest ranch that's bordered by a single fence. And everyone, okay, you know, what does that mean? Well, now it means that he's he's basically it's not he's not renewing the leases on these people's land around this lake. But the way this works is there's this lake that's been there forever. It's a man-made lake that for generations has been lived upon by these people who live on Lake Diversion. And the way it works is a lot of them own their houses, they own their homes, and they do annual leases on the land. And the big question here is, well, why would you ever own a house on a leased piece of land? Well, it's a good question. And now they're realizing that was probably a dumb move, because the understanding they had with the ranch to allow them to live there, that was just kind of a, you know, on your word agreement that they would never, the leases would never end. They're under new ownership now, and Kroenke has told them that they have until February of 2017 to evacuate, because the leases are being canceled, and whatever they can't take with them will become property of the ranch. So if you have a mobile home, you pitch it up and drive out and find another place to put it. But a lot of these people don't have mobile homes. They have rock cabins, or they have, you know, metal cabins or things that are more permanent structures, and they're not going to be able to afford to move them out. So they are, you know, have lived there for years. They've raised their kids there, and now they're finding out that they got to go, and they're not going to get anything for their homes if they can't take them with them. So it's a very Kroenke like move. I'm sure it's within every letter of the law. He has his right to do it. But a lot of people there are going, who is this guy, and what exactly just happened, and why are we going to be without our homes?
And so, any thoughts on what he's going to do with the property? Is it just a purchase, an investment? I mean, 800 square miles. I mean, the Walt Disney World Resort is 40 square miles.
it's over six counties, and he's just got to get these people off of a little piece of it. It's on a lake. Their biggest fear is that this ranch for a longest time has never allowed hunting. It's got, you know, because there's been cattle on it, so they don't allow deer hunting and those kind of things. Their fear is that he's going to turn it into some sort of hunting lodge there. That the reason has been that they were told by a law firm that represents Kroenke and this ranch that it's going to be returned to its natural shoreline. So it's a man-made lake that's going to be returned to its natural shoreline, whatever that means, and that it's in an attempt to get it back to its natural, you know, micro ecosystem or something along those lines. Basically, they're trying to get the people out of it, and their fear is that. And this is just speculation on their part, but their theory is he's going to try to turn it into a massive, ritzy hunting lodge there.
And if it's a man-made lake, how could it have a natural shoreline?
That's a good question.
But anyway, all these people who paid for their homes, they're going to get nothing for them? He's just going to come and knock them down?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, if they can't take them with them. And the woman that I talked to, the funny part was I asked her, I hated to be rude, but I said, why are you calling the St. Louis Post-Dispatch with this? And it was kind of funny because she said, well, I was on Facebook and somebody told me to call you guys because Stan Kroenke is the most hated man in St. Louis.
Well, she got that right.
And I said, well, yeah. I said, but we lost the NFL team. You're losing your house. I don't think that compares. And, she's just trying to get the story out to find somebody maybe powerful enough to stand up to this guy. And I said, well, look, I'm happy to write it because people here – we have this sick fascination with how sick this guy is, but I don't know that they're going to find somebody who's going to be able to help you. But yeah, so they own these homes, and they're cheap homes, and they're easy to buy. This community attracts kind of low income elderly people who want to live on a lake and maybe don't have the money to buy a full blown house. So what they had done is they purchased these cabins, and over the years they've renovated them. They poured thousands of dollars into renovating these homes under the assumption they had with the former owners of the ranch that yes, this is a year to year lease, but look, it's never going to go away. And now that looks crazy. Knowing that Stan Kroenke owns it, that looks crazy. But under the former ownership, the changes that were made to these leases year by year were something along the lines of, okay, if you don't own a house here, you can't operate an ATV on the dirt roads inside the gate. I mean, those kind of rule changes, that's the things they had come to expect. Not, oh, by the way, we're not renewing your lease anymore. You know, I think so. Some people, I guess, have mobile homes and they can drive them out. Hundreds of people have houses, you know, cabins. And she was living in a rock cabin that was built in the 1920s, And there's no way that she can get that out. You know, the price to move it would be worth more than the cabin itself. And she's not a wealthy person. Most of them aren't. And so, yeah, they were told that, you know, she called and said, hey, how much do I get for my house? And she was told, what do you mean? You take it with you. Well, I can't take it with me. Half of it's buried in the ground. You know, it's a rock structure. And they said, well, you know, that's not our problem. Anything that isn't gone will be, they think everything that's not gone will be bulldozed.
That's awful.
So basically, yeah, they're not going to get anything for their homes.
Sounds like they need some high profile Texas politician to take up their cause. They need a senator, the governor, or their state rep. They need one of those people to get involved in government and not let Kroenke do that. I mean, why do you need a representative if not for a case just like this?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure that, I'm sure that there will be some people who say, well, look, he bought the land. It's his land. He can do with it what he wants. But I'm sure that Kroenke has it all boiled down into the fine print in the leases and into the loopholes that will allow him to do this. That's what he does. But I just can't get over the fact that this guy has all the money in the world. He has all the land in the world. He owns property everywhere. He just bought a ranch that goes over six counties in North Texas. And you could live, if he didn't have houses everywhere else in the world, he could live on this ranch his whole life, the rest of his life, and never see these people. That's how big it is. You know, you have to go out of your way to find these people on this ranch that goes over six counties, yet one of his first moves is to say, hey, I know you guys have been here for generations, but you got to get out of here because it's my place now. And, oh, by the way, I mean, you're not going to get anything from me for leaving everything behind. And if that's not the most Kroenke thing ever, then I don't know what is.
When you think he can't get worse, he gets worse. Well, they need to just refuse and have the media out there and TV cameras rolling when Kroenke wants to come and bulldoze their homes. If they can't get satisfaction.
Yeah, but will it make a difference, Doug? I agree with you. I said the same thing. I mean, what if they just didn't elite? You know, they take their trespassing fine and it turns into a national story.
Mm-hmm.
But is he going to lose this?
He may. I don't know. He may.
He may have the legal aspects.
One thing you don't want to see him do is just say, okay, take my house. I'll go, I don't know where, a homeless shelter. You hope they don't just roll over and do nothing.
I mean, think with his wherewithal, as Ben said, just so people know, the St. Louis County, think of that area, how big the St. Louis County area is. That's 523 square miles. Mm-hmm. This guy just bought 800 square miles in Texas. So you think maybe he could build a couple of dwellings for these folks on the outskirts of the land?
Well, the important thing is to get that man-made lake's natural shoreline restored.
He bought a place bigger than St. Louis County in Texas.
I just, yeah, it's crazy. And it's, you know, these people are, I mean, look, she said it herself. She said most of these people are poor. I don't think she's a dog groomer, for God's sake. It's not like there's a lot of lawyers rolling around in Lake Diversion who are ready to take on this problem. It's a prime example of being targeted for people who they can, you know, they can push out and take advantage of. And it's just, it's a shame. And I think it relates to a lot of people here because it's a similar story in some ways. You have a lease that, in hindsight, you should have never agreed to, especially with Sam Kroenke, and now you're going to suffer because of it. Now, again, we lost an NFL team, and that stinks. But this is people losing the houses that they thought they were going to retire, and without any communication from the guy who's pushing them out, they can't get a hold of them. They can't even find a contact for anybody who could put them in touch with them. They just got a letter in the mail. And they got a letter posted to their community bulletin board, and then the next day, this letter showed up in the mail that said, "Hey, this is what's happening," and they're trying to figure out, "Hey, well, what are we going to do here?" And right now, it doesn't look like they have too many options, and it's in a place where, you know, your word and, you know, good intentions go a long way. That's kind of how things are done in Texas, and they just encountered a guy who does things completely the opposite direction.
Stanley Steamer, Doug. Stanley Steamer.
Don't you think he'd at least buy out their houses? At the very least, what's your house worth? Okay, here you go. Wouldn't that be the minimum he could do?
Yes.
The Steamer.
But
I would think so, yeah. I mean, these houses aren't worth a lot, man. They're one-room, they're one-bedroom shacks, cabins, basically. I mean, you would think that, and she said as much, and I don't think this isn't a person looking for a handout. This is someone saying, look, my house is worth, you know, $20,000-$30,000? Would it be impossible for a billionaire to give us something to get started on when we have to leave this place that we've called home for a lifetime? And I don't think that's that unreasonable, but I guess some people would say, well, that doesn't, you know, there's no need for that. It doesn't say that in the paperwork of the purchase or these leases. And, you know, I think when you do the kind of deals that he does, that's how you view the world. You view it in terms of, well, what does the fine print say? And that's fine, I guess. It's not illegal, but it certainly doesn't look that great when you look at it from a human perspective. It makes me wonder, why would anyone, knowing what this guy does, invest in the business with this guy? Why would anyone approach a deal with him? I mean, today you can read that story, and you can also go two pages over on the Post-Dispatch website and see that Kroenke's group is one of the people trying to get involved in the development of Maryland Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand, how can the people there know what he does and even allow him to enter this process?
Same reason.
I don't understand.
Same reason, greed.
Money. Yep.
Got to have more.
I don't get it.
However much money we have, we must have more. I don't think it goes beyond that.
It makes losing an NFL team kind of put into perspective.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Here. Ben Fredrickson, you can hear more from 12 to 2 every day here on the radio station and read him on STLtoday.com. Ben, good to hear from you, sir. Looking forward to me, Doug, the cat fighting you, and Benjamin Hockman and Derek Gould and, mm-hmm. and the Sea Monster and Gardner with the Plowboy coming in kind of as a Mr. Fuji-like character. And settling the score. That's how I see it playing out.
The Plowboy can run the camera. How about that?
He would be wonderful at that. Oh, yeah. He would be the best.
I do think it's about time. I went back. I was listening to you guys the other day, and I heard this boxing match mentioned.
Yeah.
And I was thinking,
there have been a couple.
Maybe it's time to get one of those. Yeah, maybe it's time to get one of those going again. I actually went back and found the YouTube video of that, and I really think that it's probably time for another edition of that, but maybe not to get involved with everybody, because I don't really want – I know Doug doesn't want to get – a black eye or a bloody nose, he's got to be on camera.
It's beautiful.
Maybe we could
it's
just
beautiful.
Do Hockman versus the cat in a ring and just for all the marbles.
Doug, you want to see that go down?
Well, I
maybe
guess.
Maybe do it around Hanukkah.
And they could try to beat each other with illegal accounting tricks.
Oh, my God. Ben, we got to go.
Wow. All right, we'll see you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
you, Ben.
Ben Fredrickson here. On the Ryan Kelly.
Nicely done, Doug.
Ben Fred. On the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Also in Stanley Steamer News, you know that Hard Knocks is going on, and they showed Jeff Fisher giving Nick Foles his release. Mm-hmm. Take a listen to this. It's Maggie O'Brien's Fun with Audio.
Hit the lever plows, eh?
Hey, Nick. What's up, man? How are you? How's the summer? Did you guys stay here in Southern California, or did you do some travel?
Oh, it's genuine.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah, good. Okay. Well, I'm touching base, man. We're going to go ahead and release you today. Okay. You know, I just wanted to call and thank you. Just really appreciate everything you did for us and the commitment that you made and the teammate that you were. I'll always be a fan. Anybody's got any questions, I'll certainly answer them truthfully and tell them what a pleasure you were to be around. Best of luck, and I hope you land on your feet. Okay. All right, my best to your family. Okay, take care.
Just a bullet to the head.
Well, I don't have much of a problem with the way you handled that.
That's the way you got to handle it.
That's the hardest thing.
Hardest
thing for a coach to do.
He shouldn't have a job.
No, he shouldn't. But if you got to release a guy, how else are you going to do it? At least he called him up.
No, that's fine.
But
I mean, this whole thing with the – I am so frustrated at this point with a certain select few people in this area that are still following these scrubs and these chumps. I mean,
well, those were our guys for 20 years.
Well, they're not our guys anymore.
No, but it's hard.
And they really weren't our guys the last couple of years.
If you were married for 20 years and your wife was...
It was fine for me to step away.
If what she was doing was on TV all the time, you might have some interest. I wonder what she's doing.
I don't care what they're doing. And I hear people, well, aren't you going to watch them to hope they lose? No!
I will.
You're gonna hate watch him.
I will. Really hard for them to just.
And
fall
as I
apart.
Say, when I talk about it, I say I'm embarrassed by at 39 years old that I want
that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, because I know I think I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Be watching the NFL on Sundays. If I'm not, I'm not. It'd be great if I'm not actually. And I'll have it on. I always have all the games on for fantasy footby and potentially gambling purposes. But that would be the game I would lock in on from an emotional standpoint and want them to lose. I will. Mm-hmm.
I hope they have problems with the plumbing there at the Coliseum with the electrical outlets. I hope everything,
hope everything
goes haywire. Yep.
Frank, how are you today?
Ah, knock it off.
I
don't think Fisher is evil. Stan Kroenke is evil. He is a bad, bad person.
Totally agree. But I think that Jeff Fisher, without superior talent or better than most talent, is not that good a football coach.
No.
They're not losers.
No. I mean, I'm sure that he had a lot to do with signing Nick Foles to a 2-year contract for $24 million without ever having him throw a pass.
Yeah, I mean, there's been no example that this football, that the football organization, you know, and Les Snead's a good guy, and I dig Kara, and you know, Jeff Fisher seems like Kara Henderson Snead. His wife, Les Snead's wife.
Okay, I never Kara. Saw her.
She used to be on television.
Doing what?
She did sports on CNN.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's a nice-looking lady.
Well, I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
Well, all sportscasters are really nice-looking.
Most of them are. You don't see a lot of dogs. But they've sucked as being football people.
Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
I mean, so Hard Knocks or not, I mean, if this guy's coaching the Rams next year after a sub-500 season, then something's rotten in Denmark.
He just got an extension, didn't he? Fisher has this job because he's a nice guy.
He can go live down in Texas now on the 800-square-mile ranch.
But people who work with and under Jeff Fisher, they all seem to like him. He was very nice to us. People like him. That's been his secret. Not that he's a great football coach.
No, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's been it.
Well, I mean, that should – this is big boy stuff. There have been a lot of good guys that have coached NFL teams gotten whacked after 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Most of them do.
Kim Anderson is a nice guy. Really nice guy.
I'm not saying he should continue to have his job. I'm explaining why he does have it. Almost all the players like him.
That's
fine.
Run
office people like him.
Go to dinner with him. He seemed very nice to Nick Foles.
That's been his secret.
Win a game. Win 9 games. Win 10 games.
Belichick is the opposite. Everybody hates Bill Belichick.
And look what
he's
got.
He wins every year.
Tim, do you think Fisher would ever come out and give a behind-the-scenes look at the process of the move when he's gone from the Rams? I doubt that because I would imagine there could be two elements, partially pay for silence, but the other part of it, if he wants to stay in the good graces of the league, and it's not like he's old, that by doing that, then, you know, that's the guy that violates the omerta.
That's a no-no.
And you don't. Don't do that.
When you're being paid $7 million a year, you don't usually that's giving you the paycheck.
You do wonder, to a certain extent, how much some of the key football people knew along the way and when they knew it.
They knew.
I think they knew.
They knew. Yeah. I think they've even said that at some point, talking out in L.A.
We knew this was coming, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
The Rams.
Even though they knew it was coming, even though the NFL had a committee that studied it and said, no, St. Louis should stay where it is.
Sure, right.
And they still knew they were moving.
Correct.
Guys, just watched Hard Knocks this morning. I was disgusted. Playing songs in the background such as California Dreamin' and Coming Home, #vomit. P.S. The players are staying in dorms with no air conditioning. That's from Colorado.
Good. See, those are the kind of problems I'd like.
You
I'd
want
like
that to happen.
Bill Simmons went off on it last night on his show. I don't know how many people are watching that, but he spent some time on that. He had Ricky Williams and I think it was Seth Rogen, as his guest, and asked if they were excited about football returning to L.A., and they just gave him a blank stare. And he goes, oh, join the many. And then he got into the PSLs and the whole scam. You know what the first team was? There's no way, unless you watch the show, I can't imagine anybody being able to guess this. It's one of the teams in the four pro leagues, so they're still around, four American pro leagues, that started PSLs. It was not the Rams.
Carolina Panthers?
Ooh, good guess. If I'm not mistaken, it's the Charlotte Hornets.
I think that's right.
So you're in the right neck of the way.
Yeah, but I remember when Carolina was coming into the league, they played a preseason game at Williams-Brice Stadium.
Home of the Gamecocks?
In Columbia, South Carolina, where if it ain't swaying, we ain't playing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how they started to gouge people for even more money.
P-
PSL. Just keep going. Oh, and you want a soda?
That'll be $9.
Yeah, that's 3 cents worth of material. It'll cost you $9. And yet we still are going to miss him.
Remember when Billy Devaney had a job? That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
From Cousin J.W.
Billy D.
How about Spagnuolo? There's the worst coach in the
history
of the league.
He was the worst maybe in the history of the league, yeah.
Yeah.
Take those pictures down.
And ultimately, that's what cost us the team.
They went in a bad direction. Yeah.
So bad.
The value.
They got 30,000 in the stadium instead of 60 because of people like Steve Spagnuolo.
But who made that decision to hire Spagnuolo?
I guess Kroenke had something to do with that.
I guess, or the guy out in L.A., Tuna's friend.
John Shaw.
Yeah, John Shaw.
I think he was mostly out of it by that time.
I don't know that he's out of it, period. I mean, this guy is like, he's the never-ending gobstopper.
Oh, nice. Everlasting gobstopper is good.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
And you wonder what it was about him that made him such the expert. I guess he... round-nosed with Georgia.
Georgia, that was the key.
He got in with her.
He became a made man with Georgia.
Yeah. What a group.
The show.
What an operation.
The showgirl.
That's quite a little operation.
She used to be a showgirl.
Yep. Coach Rick Venturi said, wait till they get a load of this operation in Los Angeles. It's a man who coached for him.
Mm-hmm. I hope he has his $2 billion stadium and there's about 15,000 people in it about 3 or 4 years from now.
Then maybe the league would look stupid, you know?
Oh, they don't care.
As long as
they have money.
Yeah, you're right.
And more of it, play more than they're getting now.
Right, because that's all they want, yeah.
Right. And we have to pay the commissioner upwards of $50 million a year, because nobody else could possibly do it besides him.
For 20.
No. There's no way you could run a league like that, where the teams pretty much run themselves, and you just rake in the TV money.
And the TV money just takes care of the whole thing.
Right, you'd have to be a genius. There's only one man who could possibly do it, and we'd have to pay him $50 million a year.
Tim, can you please perform Sandblast from beginning to end? Your version is better than the actual song. Jennings, you're familiar with that, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear some.
That's what they play before the Gamecocks take the field.
That's right.
And they have the whole thing. They're swaying.
2001, they come out onto the
field. If it ain't swaying, we ain't playing. Is that what they say?
If it ain't swaying, we ain't playing.
The team would refuse to take the field if the stadium wasn't swaying.
No, it's a saying, Doug, that means if the stadium is swaying,
right,
we're playing.
But if it isn't,
they're not playing.
They're going to stay right in the locker room.
They're not going to sway. They sell these things called cockabooses at like $250,000. You have to purchase them, okay?
Yeah.
That's the price to purchase your cockaboose. And then it's like $8,000 a week to cater it and booze it and parking and all. It's unbelievable.
How many people have those?
I think they're up to maybe, I'd have to look. When it first started, there were 10. It wouldn't surprise me if they're 40 or 50 now.
Don't you wonder what all these people do to have that kind of money to throw away?
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world?
How many cockabooses? I bet that doesn't get top taped.
A couple things going on the fan page. Just want to update everybody. Larry Nickel has a new Snapchat account again.
Right.
Says, for those of you who have Snapchat and those of you who have my old Snapchat account, please delete that account and add this one.
Okay.
It's Nick3307, Doug.
Doug, they're up to $300,000, the cockaboose.
Sure.
Inflation. And then Jake posted, so from our favorite 25 movies list yesterday, I noticed that there were quite a few that recurred. Which of these from the favorites list is your favorite movie? So, Doug, if you could go vote.
I haven't seen the other
Back to the Future, The Big Lebowski, The Dark Knight, Die Hard, Dr. Strangelove, The Empire Strikes Back, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ghostbusters, The Godfather, Goodfellas.
That's a wide array of films.
Yeah. Well, The Godfather would be in my top 20.
I think they're up to 24 cockabooses.
24.
And 300.
And 25 movies on the fan page.
How about just one of them says, you know what, I'm not going to be a cockaboose this year. I'm going to give some money to these poor people in Texas who are about to have their shacks plowed over by Stan Kroenke.
Plowed.
Doesn't that sound like a movie?
That'd be a nice
movie. Sound like a movie where the evil billionaire comes.
Or maybe move the cockaboose to the ranch and let them live in the cockaboose.
Right.
I just like saying cockaboose.
And when you think Kroenke can't possibly get any worse.
I mean, that's brutal.
He does.
I mean, you hear of companies getting land, but those companies then move people to other spots or give them money. I guess this is a situation where whomever he bought the land from has been in control of the land and let these people have their dwellings there. Yeah. Now he owns 800 acres in North Texas. Just to put it in perspective, St. Louis County is 523.
But a handful of these houses have got to go.
Yeah, they got to go. They got to go.
Eminent domain is one thing, because it's usually for the greater good, and the people get paid for
correct.
The property.
Correct. They get money for the property. But not here.
No.
Not in this case. You can read it on STLtoday.com. Ben Fredrickson, our guest in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with the 9 o'clock hour of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.